Yes, we have open lines for you tonight. Special hotline for you. The Magic Moment Hotline. Sometime in your life, what was that very magic moment for you? Whatever it was. Call 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. Tommy came up to me yesterday and says, hey, do me a favor and call this guy who listens to Coast on a regular basis. His name's Claire. Because Claire and his daughter were going to meet you at an event, and Claire just could not attend. He couldn't make it. So it'd be nice if you just called him and said hi. So I said, sure, I'll do that. So I did. I called Claire and talked to him last night, and he's in his 70s. Wonderful gentleman. Claire, hi, by the way. And he told me one of the neatest but scariest stories I've heard in a long time. You all know how I feel about Ouija boards, right? So he brought that up, he said, you know, I went out and got a Ouija board for my daughter, and I was going to bring it to her, and I was flying to see her, and he had a connecting flight, so he carried this thing with him. Now, listen to this. This is where it gets fascinating. He had a plane change, and so he got on the plane, and he had a Ouija board, and so he opened up the compartment above him, and there was another guy sitting next to him toward the window, and Claire didn't have room on his side. You know how you sometimes divide those compartments? Didn't have room on his side to put the Ouija board, so he put it over the other guy, okay? It was on his side. And he closed the top, and he sat down. A little bit later on in the flight, the guy who was sitting under the Ouija board, his hands, according to Claire, got ice cold, freezing. And he looked over and he says, my God, I don't know. He could be dead. The guy had keeled over in the side of his plane. And it was just, you know, against the window side. And so he called a stewardess. A doctor came with a stethoscope and they checked him out. And this guy was in serious, serious trouble. And they were going to Fairbanks, Alaska. And so they headed on there because they're only 40 minutes outside of Fairbanks. They landed and took care of the guy, and Claire doesn't know how he is now, but he was alive when they landed, but barely. He's convinced the Ouija board did this to this person. And the doctor who had the stethoscope, as they were talking later, said, why'd you put the Ouija board over him instead of yourself? And he says, well, he didn't have any room, but it was better him than me. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and let us go right back to the calls now as we start open lines. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, first of all. Hey, Dick, welcome to the show, Dick.
Hi, how are you, George?
I'm doing great.
It's a pleasure. I'm calling because in the last 6 months, we've had chemtrails here day after day. I'd say somewhere between a third and a half of the days. And, you know, I know that I've seen contrails, and these things aren't contrails.
No, you can see the difference. Now, is it unusual? Have you seen this pattern before, this series of chemtrails, or is it just seemed to be lately?
Well, I started noticing back in August. And, you know, I'd say that it was maybe a third of the days between August and December, and now it's picked up to maybe half of the days. And you can see as many as, you know, 20, 25 chemtrails at a time. And when they spread out, you'll end up with maybe 50% or more cloud cover. I mean, it looks like cloud cover then.
And let me ask you, what's going on in Dallas right about now that might necessitate them spraying? Anything special? Any kind of event happening?
Nothing at all.
Nothing unusual.
And you know, I've been trying to get people to look up. You know, I just feel that if people will look up, we might at least get some conversation started on it. My wife and the other people I know don't want to hear about it. They'll say, oh, that's just contrails, or those are just clouds. And I'm thinking, George, can we prove that these things are not contrails. I mean, if we could get some kind of hard testimony there that would support that, it might do a great service to get some conversation started where people just blow it off and think you're crazy.
It is one of these cases, Dick, that is shrouded in so much secrecy. Now, we've had several experts on the program over the course of the years who have done a lot of extensive research into this, and they've come up with a number of reasons and possible theories. They haven't geared it down to one yet, but I mean, it runs the gamut from weather manipulation, weather control, trying to protect us from something that's being bombarded down on us, to, shooting Prozac down on us to dumb us down, all kinds of theories. But I agree with you. It's something. I just wish I knew what it was.
Yeah, I actually called into the local affiliate here. There was John David Wells was on, in the early evening. I called in about a month ago, and he gave me about 3 or 4 minutes to talk about it. And then he said, what's in this stuff? And I said, well, I'm just calling to testify on what I've seen. I'm not calling to, speculate. And he said, well, yeah, what's in there? And I said, well, barium and some other things, mm-hmm. that we're all fine aluminum particles, because those are things that have come up on your show.
Yep. Have you seen the what I call the spider web effect in the morning? And this is not from real spiders. It seems to just float down on us when you have a heavy infiltration of these chemtrails.
I haven't noticed that.
Okay,
no.
Keep your eyes open for that. It looks just like a weaving string throughout. You look at it on the lawn, like during the morning when you have that dew.
Yeah.
Take a look at that, and you're going to see this weave effect, and it's really strange.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
All right, I appreciate it. Let's go to Independence, Missouri, the home of Harry Truman. Mary.
Well, thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure thing.
I really appreciate it. Well, something happened Wednesday morning between 6:30 and I'd say 7:30.
What happened?
Our family was going up to Iowa, and we just went across the border, of Missouri and Iowa.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, we looked up in the sky. It was dark with geese flying south. Millions of geese, George. And I'm going, they were really flying fast, and they were low. There were, I don't know how to estimate how low they were.
Is it a little late in the season for geese to be going south?
George, this was, I am 67 years old, okay?
All right.
I've never seen this at all in all my life. And as far as my eye could see, that was clear, God only knows how far down on the other side of us. I mean, you could see these people were slowing down, looking up in the sky. I could tell they were Canadian geese. That's how low I could see, their heads and everything.
Yeah, and those are gorgeous. Thousands of them, you think?
Thousands of them, George. They were going so fast that the young ones in the back couldn't hardly keep up. And I called the Missouri conservationists, here in Independence. And I asked them about it, whether people called or any. Oh, no, we haven't got any email on that. Maybe you should call the newspaper. And I'm going, look, lady, there's something happening. And there is, George. I can feel it.
Well, now, is it happening up toward Canada, coming down this way, or what?
You know what? I think maybe so, because, the way they were coming in from Iowa, they were coming from the north, George.
Now, they sense earthquakes.
Yeah, they sense animals birds.
They
sense,
right. They sense volcanoes.
Volcanoes.
And they may sense something we're really not aware of, and that's something from above.
And you know what, George? When I seen that, I got chills. I'm afraid. I am, tell you the truth about it, because I've never seen anything like this. Thousands and thousands of these Canadian geese. And maybe somebody else in our audience might have seen the same thing. But, you know, George, I'd like to know.
All right, Mary, thanks for pointing it out. And maybe somebody can shed some light on this, on why these thousands of Canadian geese seem to have flown out of Canada and they're going south. And why now? Most of the time, they just hang around. Let's go next to Coleman, Wisconsin. Algis, east of the Rockies. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yeah, you did. In fact, right. You did. Yeah, Algis. Yeah, Algis. You could pronounce it with a G as a K or Algis either way.
All right. I'll stick with Algis.
Okay, listen, I got a lot of things to talk about. I'm going to try to make it short.
All right. I'll sit back,
you know,
my feet
of
up
all,
on the desk.
I was listening to that thing where the lady was talking about the geese. I'll listen to the birds thing.
Yeah.
You know, she's right. I haven't seen the geese all this and that, but I'll tell you what happened on 9/11.
And you're up higher north than her, so
yeah,
what's going on?
Yeah, but this
on?
Has nothing to do with it, but there's something to do with the birds when the science says. On 9/11, okay?
All right.
When the towers were falling, I'd never seen this before. I live in the country here outside of Coleman, about 2.5-3 miles.
How close are you to Madison, let's say?
Oh, I'm out of Green Bay, about 45, 50 miles north.
Okay.
I'm going towards Iron Mountain, towards the Upper Peninsula here. Actually, Upper Peninsula is like 20 miles from me. But anyway, on 9/11, okay, talking about what happened, the signs of birds. Now, this was scary, the same thing. I never seen so many birds fly out of my forest. At the same time when the towers are kind of falling.
Yeah, that's
and
weird.
It just stopped my heart. I said, what the heck? I'm watching the towers falling. I never seen these, you know, birds. I mean, it's like the Alfred Hitchcock thing, you know?
Over 1,000 miles away, it's strange that they might pick that up or feel it.
But anyway, it happened the same time, and I never seen that out of my forest. Just birds were flying and flying out of the forest. And I mean, for about 4 or 5 minutes at least, I'm watching this, and I was watching the thing on the news, the towers falling, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to a lot of things, like, there's a book printed, not this August, in 1955. The thing is, I had to mention, this is years going back when Priest Wingate was talking about. Well, he plagiarized all this stuff he was talking on the radio from this book, kind of. It's a very interesting book. It's by C.M. Kornblut with a K, K-O-R-N-B-L.
What's his last name?
Kornblut. C.M. Kornblut.
Kornblut?
K-O-R-N-B-L-U-T-H.
All right.
This August. It's a very interesting book, George. You will like it.
What was it on?
Well, it's about realistic scientific fiction thing where America gets attacked from the east by Russia and China from the west. Okay.
It's a
very
they
made some movies, but this book is very nice. It's very interesting. But anyway, going back to these things, like going back to Oklahoma bombing, you know. Well, I had the dreams occur to me over and over before this happened, the night before, you know, the morning I woke up, you know. And when I heard in the news, I said, what the heck? I've seen all this already, you know. In fact, there was a woman standing in a window. I saw her, you know. So it happens. But one thing I know, all these different people you got, you cannot force these things. I guess you had this Rochelle, whatever you had.
Yeah, that's her name.
But you cannot force these things. You can't be phony.
It's got to happen. It just
happens. You got to go through crisis yourself. That's what I could tell a lot of people.
So do you see anything else happening here?
Oh, my God. Oh, you know, what she just mentioned on the radio, it made me shiver. You know, about the bird things, the signs you see like this. Those things make me shiver. The numerology thing doesn't. Because when they talk about that, it's all chaotic. It's unpredictable. You cannot go with science. Even the scientists, they say numbers are unpredictable. You could put any name on it, anything that happens, but you cannot predict with them.
Well, the big question is, just what the heck does it mean and what's going on? Thanks for that call. Let's go to Jesse in Flagstaff, Arizona, who's west of the Rockies. Jesse, welcome to Open Lines. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, I just have a question that, you know, this war that we're fighting in Iraq and in Afghanistan and stuff like that, I mean, when is it going to be over? I mean, how much money are they going to be taking from us? I mean, they're already taking enough money from the oil, you know?
I don't think it's going to get over. You know, as a matter of fact, even when they said they're going to take the military combat troops out by 2010, they're still going to leave at least 50,000 in there. I just don't see an end to it right now.
And I have an opinion.
Okay.
All this stuff that are manifesting UFOs and all these things, I think all that is the work of, you know, the Antichrist trying to lead us away from what we really are here for. And the United States was made, you know, for us to love our neighbors and live by the Ten Commandments. And I don't see how these people in the Middle East are trying to live and take over the world when they kill their babies and their moms and their sisters, you know, all for honor of their family.
Well, what does that have to do with the UFOs?
Well, the UFOs is just a manifestation of demons and the Antichrist, because there's no way that there's aliens out there. I just don't not believe that.
You don't think that there's life out there on other planets, Jesse?
No, I don't, because we're the only ones. I mean,
in the whole universe, it's just us.
I mean, we're special. That's why God was here.
Well, some people believe that, but thousands and thousands of others believe that there are inhabitants. Next up, let's go to Austin, Texas. KLBJ land, Thomas, you're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Thomas.
I'm going to be real quick because I know you're busy and there's a lot of other people. I got two things I want to say. I'm going to be very brief.
All right.
I got married in 1979, and we wanted to go to church, so we'd pray every night, and we turn off all the lights, me and my wife, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if I dreamt this or I woke up half asleep, but I felt fear. I was so scared that I couldn't move. And at the foot of the bed, I saw this. It was darker than the dark, a being at the foot of the bed. He was almost as tall as the ceiling.
Yeesh.
And I don't even know. I don't know if he spoke to me audibly or in my ear, but he said, "I am Satan, and I hate you, and I'm going to destroy you." And I couldn't move. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this little being. And all I could say, do you remember the Addams Family, the cousin It? He looked like that little shape.
Yeah.
And he was like wanting to
cousin
he'd coming closer and closer to my body. And something told me, Tom, you got to do something because he's trying to enter your body. And if he, so the only thing I knew, I was brought up in church, and I just said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be gone. And all of a sudden, they disappeared, the fear gone, and then my wife screamed. She screamed, and I said, what's wrong? She goes, I saw this skeleton staring at me, and I was frozen, and all of a sudden disappeared. And then I got another thing about, oh, God.
Well, how,
no,
how are you
going to
top what you just said?
Oh,
my
okay.
Gosh.
Yeah. Now, that happened to me.
Yeah, stick with that, because that is a great story. Well, you know, originally it could have been sleep paralysis. A lot of people get that, but if you were seeing some strange beings, Thomas, it's much more than that. It really is. Have you been up to the coasttocoastam.com website? Well, take a look, if you would, at the pictures that Dana sent us. And I had an opportunity to get a hold of Joshua Warren today, Joshua P., and he has looked at this creature as well. This is not the same creature as he has been reporting on over the last couple days on this program, where they think maybe they got a little baby alien or something. He thinks this is a Mexican devil fish. If you think the same, let me know by a fast blast or send me an email. But that's what Joshua thinks. He thinks it is a dead Mexican devil fish that someone has opened up somehow, and that's what this person is holding. But you go ahead and take a look at it. It's at coasttocoastam.com, and just let that picture sit into your head, and you decide what you think. Don't forget our special hotline tonight is Magic Moment Line. In your life, what was that very magic special moment that changed you? 818-817-0021. And here's our Magic Moment Hotline, 818-817-0021. Some stories of enlightenment for a change, huh? Hey, it's time for our traditional shout-out, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, and Streamlink members as well, and XM Satellite, and the various chat rooms as well, my friends at thenighthawkzone.com. Hello, Imaginative Worlds into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC, the MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Groups, Above Top Secret, and so many others. Thank you for keeping Coast to Coast on top of the book. We'll be back. And welcome back to Open Lines. Let's go to our wild card line. Dana is there. Hey, Dana.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
Doing well. I'm doing well. Yeah, that sounds doing better. Well. I'm doing well instead of I'm doing good. So why are you fabulous?
Excuse me?
You said you're doing fabulous.
Oh, yes, I am. Because I am such a huge fan of yours and the show, and it's a great honor to be able to speak with you.
Are you the Dana who just sent those pictures?
Yes, I am.
Oh, tell me about this.
Okay. Well, my husband's father, his brother was driving home late one night from working, and this creature flew into his truck, and they ended up taking it back to my father-in-law's house, and they cut it open, took the organs out, and let it dry out so they could preserve the body.
Right.
And I know the chupacabra is a very, it's a popular animal down in Mexico and Puerto Rico, I think, down in the Southwest America as well. I believe this is, they believe this is the chupacabra.
Now, is this where they were, down in the South?
No, they were in Jiquilpan, Michoacan, Mexico, which is about 3 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 hours south of Guadalajara.
And this creature jumped right through the window into the car?
No. It flew down and hit the truck, and it killed it.
Oh.
The guy was driving, and it flew into the truck.
He smashed it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And now, where is the specimen?
It is in Mexico with my mother-in-law.
Okay, they still have it. Has it been tested?
No, they haven't. I told her not to get rid of it because I wanted to have it DNA tested because I think it would be a fabulous discovery and to introduce a new species into the world.
Okay, I'm going to get Joshua Warren involved in this too, but I want you to go online later, Dana, and look for the image of a Mexican devilfish.
Okay.
All right, and this is down in Mexico as well. They look very similar, other than... you know, it's not cut up yet or anything like that. So compare that to what you have there, and then send us another email. Let us know what you think.
Okay.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Dana.
Thank you.
Pretty remarkable, but you want to see this thing. It's up there at coasttocoastam.com now under the feature story. Let us go to the magic moment line. Casey in Lone Rock, Wisconsin. Hi, Casey. What was your magic moment?
How are you doing?
Good.
Well, last September, my father passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. And it was unexpectedly. It was a heart attack. And it was kind of weird because about 3 weeks before he passed away, we had talked about all of these things that you'd want to talk about before someone goes. And, you know, we spoke about what he wanted at his funeral and things like that. And I just asked him, you know, if when you get to the other side, you know, let me know what's over there. You know, give me a sign, you know. Let me know that there's something there. And so he passed away, and, you know, everybody was just kind of going crazy, of course. And my daughter had got some balloons for him because, you know, she's about 9 years old and didn't know that he wasn't going to make it. And so they said, get well. Well, I kept them back at the house. So anyway, one day, day after the funeral, I found that no one was in the house. So I figured, well, I'll let the balloons go and let them, you know, went out on the porch and let them go. And I just kind of said under my breath, I said, well, let me know if you get them. And then I come back in the house and I realized that from across the room, I could hear my coffee cup was ringing like a bell. You know, it's like a bone china coffee cup. There's no reason, you know, nothing was touching it. It was
right
sitting on the table. And so I got out my video camera and I taped it. And my family actually got back from wherever they were at. Just kind of sat around in amazement and looked at the ringing coffee cup.
We all know what that was, don't we?
Exactly. Yep.
That is a magic moment.
So it really turned me around, you know?
Thanks, Casey.
Thank you.
That's a great story. Let's go to Jeremiah, first-time caller in Nebraska. Good morning, Jeremiah.
Morning, George.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, in my early teens, when I was programming a computer, I decided to see how far the date would go out, you know, as far as it could go. And as far as I could get is about the year 32,000. And I was thinking about the Mayan calendar and the astronomers and the mathematicians that originally created it. And I was wondering, when they originally created it, do you think the date that they picked for the end, was it as arbitrary as the date I found on that computer? Or did they give it implications initially, or what would we add it?
Good question, Jeremiah. I think in the Mayan calendar's end date of 2012, they had that date in mind. It wasn't arbitrary, you know, it just didn't happen. They didn't run out of tablets. I think they knew that this mathematically was a time period for whatever is going to happen, whatever it is. whether it's a period of enlightenment, some kind of solar event, who knows? But I think it was by design. They knew that year in the future was very significant, and that's what they used. Let's go to Eric in Overland, Kansas on the wild card line. Hello, Eric.
Hey, George. I loved your book. I wanted to call and talk to you about my superior psychic abilities.
Your superior psychic ability. Okay.
No. I just want to tell you a story I got.
All right.
Well, I had this opportunity to meditate every day for about 2 years. That's what I did here. So I did it by a tree every day. Same tree. Well, anyway, come to find out they were going to cut down these trees. Well, I didn't know about that at the time. But anyway, after they cut down the trees, I would meditate, try and meditate again. And I could see not only how the tree was seeing me, but, you know, some other things too. But let me get to, anyway, that's the story. I could see it superimposed everywhere I looked, kind of like, you know, an LSD or something. I've never had one of those, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it everywhere.
I've never had one either.
All right, great. I know you love angel stories. My mom was walking one day and followed a guy in a white suit, hat, all the way down this road. And anyway, she got some gas for the car that was out. But
when she was driving, he was walking?
No, she was walking too, and she, you know, she...
Oh, with a can of gasoline.
Yeah, with a can of gasoline.
Okay.
Yeah, with a can of gasoline, yeah. So there you go.
And what happened?
Well, she followed the guy all the way to the gas station, and, you know, she got the gasoline, and she said, could you tell me, to the clerk, where that guy with the white suit went? He said, the clerk said, look, I didn't see anybody in a white suit. And she claims that it was just so fast, the distance they traveled. He was walking really, really fast, and she was walking really, really fast. And it was just, one of those time warp things where you get there sooner than you think you will be, you know?
Somebody who just was out of kilter just a little bit. Okay, well, I thought, Eric, maybe you were going to tell me some story that, you know, he turned around, had wings, and he flew away or something like that. Dayton, Ohio, we go. Randy, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Randy.
Hey, George, my friend. How are you?
Good. What's going on in Dayton?
Very, very beautiful day today. We had a very nice day. I'm glad for this opportunity. This is
the Nighthawk.
You know it's a Nighthawk.
I know your voice.
This is.
I know
it's
your voice.
Dog.
I know your voice.
Yeah. George, I really need to say something to you. I just need 2 minutes. I need to make everybody aware.
All right.
It's not political. If anybody has not gotten Michael Moore's movie Sicko, they need to watch it because what I'm going through makes that movie look sick. I've sent you messages here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've been reading your emails, and you've been getting my responses back, I hope.
Right.
Okay.
Me and Tommy, you guys have been very nice and very, very gracious about this.
Why don't you just go back just a little bit and tell everybody what happened to you?
Okay. I can't legally give names.
No, I understand. But just tell the event, the event.
Okay. I had an accident with my 18-wheel vehicle a year ago. I'm getting kind of technical here, but, okay, it's been a year. I had an accident. I've talked to Daniel Brinkley on your show.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that I need to do a community service, and I think this is my opportunity to do community service. I think this is what he wants me to do.
Your whole life changed after this accident.
Yes, George. For a year, they've done absolutely nothing for me. Because of workman's comp, literally, they've done nothing for me. All they've done is they've taken all my rights, my job. Constitutionally, after 120 days, they said they have a right to terminate me.
And they did?
They did terminate me. They did not tell me, George.
How long had you been working with them or for them?
I've been doing the trade 16 years, but I've been with them 9 years.
9 years, and out the window you go.
Right. As a truck driver, I had 16 years. I had a million 700,000 safe miles. I've had trouble. I'm starting to get here and a part I shouldn't talk about, but I rolled the truck. I've got letters. We got letters saying that, you know, that they had the truck worked on. I've got records of everything.
Yeah, you may be able to prove there was something wrong with the truck.
I've got in 3 weeks, or I had it worked on three times in 2 weeks in company shops.
And they still didn't fix it.
Four turned, it rolled over. But anyway, to speed it up here, they said after 120 days, they had a constitutional right to terminate me, which they terminated me. They took everything from me, George. My wife, Mooncat, she is probably one of your biggest listeners.
Yeah, they didn't take her away. She stuck with you, right?
No, she stuck with me, but they took from her. And she is, if it wasn't for her to get me through this, I could have got thrown. But I need to tell your people to, you know, times are hard for everybody. Everybody's losing their jobs. They need to not put all of their resources and think their company is behind them, because their company will let you go in a heartbeat. And what happened to me is what's happened to me. It's been a year. They've done nothing for me, George.
And you, how are you making it now? My God.
I have to pay the. They determine how much they're going to give me on workman's comp. And I have to pay for my medical.
What happened to you injury wise? What did you sustain?
I was ejected from the seatbelt. I slid 400 something feet. The truck was on the right side. I'm the one that.
You know, you got every truck driver that's listening right now, Randy, just cringing at that.
Okay, I hope so, because my fellow drivers out there, it ejected me from my seat. I hit my head on a refrigerator, which is I had a refrigerator. I had a concussion, my right side. My left leg, I tore a meniscus. Now, I'm starting to get really, really into the point where, I'm saying too much. Because
well, I understand. But the message is what? Tell us the message one more time.
The message is, you can't put all your eggs in the same basket, because the basket's got a hole in one side of it.
And let me, a shorter phrase for the message, Randy, is, folks, you got to watch your own back. You have to watch your own back. Let's go to Olympia, Washington. Gwen, west of the Rockies. Hi, Gwen.
Hey, George. It's fabulous to talk to you.
Try to say Gwen, west of the Rockies, five times. Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to do that, because that'll waste a whole lot of hell.
We got time, but give it a chance. I mean, this is how difficult it is, and I did it.
Gwen, west of the Rockies. Gwen, west of the
Rockies. See? No, you already got it. You already stumbled.
All right.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Anyways, I really, I've been a listener to Coast to Coast since 1996.
Well, thank you. Since the beginning.
Yes. And I really have enjoyed my time listening to you, especially. George, you were fabulous. But anyways, what I'm here to talk about is that we all have to understand what's going on today. And I think the most important thing we have to realize is that things definitely will change. And why I'm calling you is because I have had some change in my life that I think will exhibit the resiliency of the human persona.
Something positive here.
To get through it. Okay?
Yep.
Now, back in year 2000, I had an experience in my life. I owned a fly fishing shop. I had my whole life. It would be a dream to most people.
True. How cool. A little fly fishing.
Yeah, it was great. I had two cars, a wife and three kids and a whole nine yards. And then, you know what? It all fell apart. You know why?
Why?
Because I was called to a higher call.
You gave it up?
I gave it up.
Everything?
Everything.
That was a sacrifice, Gwen.
Well, and the reason why, and I don't know exactly how to explain this, is that my hierarchical guides told me I was an unusual person that had the ability to be the two is to one. And really, what they were saying was that the ability to reverse the duality within humans is one of the things that is a challenge upon us.
So what do you do now? I mean, do you go around and speak to people from city to city? Or what do you
do? Well, actually, I have been put into service to other people. I just help people wherever I can.
You're not like a minister?
Well, I suppose, if that's what you want to put it that way.
Do you have your own congregation?
No, I'm not a reverend. No, I just am a person who helps other people.
Do you work?
Yes, I work. I'm actually in the middle of tearing apart somebody's huge garage and rebuilding it.
Okay. And so you get paid to do that?
No, I don't get paid.
What do you mean you don't get paid?
They just take care of me.
Okay, so they'll give you some food, a little lodging.
Yeah.
And then when you're done, what happens? You go off
I'll
to the next...
I'll move on to another project.
And you have been able to do this?
Yes, I have.
That's pretty fascinating. Now, but you had to give up.
Everything.
Your family,
I mean,
your wife, your little shop.
$100,000 a year job. I mean, this is not...
Do you miss any of that?
Oh, yes. Well, to some degree. But on the other hand, I know that I'm doing what I'm been destined to do.
And you're happy inside.
Very much so. And what I would really encourage people to understand is that we really have to work towards that, working towards happy inside.
That's that inner self going. I don't know how many people have the wherewithal to pull themselves away like you did and just give it all up. I'm not sure a lot of people would do that, but you did, and it sounds like it made you happy. I'll be back in a moment. Coast to Coast continues with open lines. Don't forget our magic moment line, which is 818-817-0021. Back in a moment.